Welcome back to Ponderosa Ponders. It's Rockwell Peterson.
And Isaac Wilhelmy.
Joining us in the studio today, we have...
Benjamin Goldie.
It's great to have you down here, man. Thank you for joining us in the studio. So, before we went on air, we were already getting into a great conversation about business. So, would you mind just running it back a bit for us? Kind of your passion for business, what got you into it, like, what makes you interested in it?
Oh, 100%. So it really just has been my dad my whole life. He's a CPA for the government for 32 years. He always kept everything on the low, hard worker, owns rental properties on the side. That's a side gig, like no real estate license. He just bought his own, done his own. And I now growing up and honestly talking to Rockwell, very smart man, I've been able to realize why he did everything and how he did everything. And he always told me I was going to be like him growing up, because he didn't try in school. He only got real competitive in college, he said. That's when he started mastering his grades, scoring highest in exams and top of the national ranks. He doesn't talk about it, but I see it now. I went to college for one semester for business, not really knowing what I was going to do, but business is easy for me. But now I dropped out, but now I'm finally seeing money and everything come in. I'm finding different incomes. I'm finding little side hustles. I just love business. I just get competitive when I see the money. He always said I was going to get competitive like him. And I think it's truly the money aspect. When, I mean, you can put in the hard work. I mean, might as well reward yourself in big ways. So that's why I'm honored to start working with Rock, honestly. And I really just, I want to see myself just talking to him and how he's expanding his businesses. I mean, growing up with him, always watching mafia movies. The Goodfellas is probably my favorite. The Godfather.
Amazing.
Donnie Brasso. You name them, I've watched them. But I mean, really, like a Henry Hill, just being that guy, making money, having women around you, being able to ball them out here and there, but obviously just enjoying your life, just making money, living it. And that's what I can see myself doing with Rock.
That's awesome, man. No, that's awesome. It's great to have you, because your dedication and investment into the company already is mind-blowing, bro. Like, the amount of personal growth I've seen from you already through the course of you working for me is truly impressive, and you should hold your head high with that, man, because not many dudes our age can do what we do and understand what we understand, you know what I mean? And that's not meant to be like a cocky statement. It's just a fact, you know, because if you think about it, a lot of people our age just don't have their lives together, and they don't know where to start, you know, and I feel for them. I really do, because it's difficult, but I found that it's just finding a passion and what you're interested in and pursuing it, you know, because I've always had a passion for business, a mind for money, and a love of keeping people safe. And that's really what got me into security, because just who I am as a person, if you're around me, you're under my protection.
100%. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed that, because I haven't had a brother really, and I don't want to, like, I mean, I talk completely high on my dad and everything, but at the same time, I mean, he was always traveling, he was always working. I never really had a quote unquote true father figure, because I had absolutely more than that. But you, how you just honestly interact with everyone, I truly feel safe around you. I feel like, honestly, yeah, I just truly feel genuine about you.
I'm glad, man.
And I really don't feel that with many other people, actually.
That means a lot to me. It really, really does. It really, really does, man. Because it's important to me that people feel that. You know what I mean?
Oh,
and that's part of it, is set your goal on how you want to be perceived and how you want to interact with people and what you want to make them feel. Because that's a conscious choice.
It is.
And with everyday interactions, every time you speak with somebody, how do you feel about that person and how do you want them to feel about you? You know? If you want to make everybody in your life feel uncomfortable and uneasy about you, guess what? They will, and you're going to.
Just how you hold yourself.
What was that?
Just how you hold yourself.
No, that's actually, I actually agree with that, because I think it's honestly how you, it's just how you think of yourself. It's how you honestly probably portray it, or how you interact with other people, and how you have just a normal human interaction in that sense. I mean, if you hold yourself to a high standard and everything, I think it rubs off on people.
Oh yeah, definitely does. And Ben, I know you talked about wanting to start your own business, and you went for what, one semester for business?
Yeah, I went for school. Well, yeah, I went for I put it this way, I wanted to go play college football.
That's fine. That's fair.
Yeah, but yeah, I went for business. That was my original
idea. I'm going
to
tell you right now, if you want to start your own business, you do not need to go to college to start your own business. No. Obviously. I've gone through most all the business courses at BH right now. I'm graduating next December, and you're better off learning from someone who actually owns a business than professors. I'm just saying that right now. So
100%. That's just how I learned too. I can't sit in a bullshit classroom.
Oh yeah.
$300 kids, hell no.
No, oh, yeah. No, it's all about that personal interaction and connection and like who, because
you're just doing it. You just got to do it.
Yeah. You got to buckle down and learn the nitty gritty and the ins and outs. You know what I mean? And the reality of it. And that's my biggest issue with college is you've got people who understand the philosophy of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what college is great for, is if you need help understanding the philosophy of something, go to college.
If you
want to understand the day-to-day operations and the nitty-gritty of it and the reality of it, go do it yourself.
Yeah, get into it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of the big difference in all of it. And you also, I know that you want to kind of get into running some of your own businesses. And so, like, what drives you, I guess, to wanna do that?
Oh, for me, it's really just honestly at this point a pride and just a self thing where it's more of just I hold myself to that high standard. I feel like you can achieve a lot more than you really want, and I feel like just a lot of people just get
complacent.
And people these days, and I feel like everyone just gets real lazy. Everyone's real lazy these days.
The biggest thing is we're set up now where you don't have to try.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's like, dude, I want to do something. Like, I mean, like, yeah, I don't want to put anything weird, but it's like, yeah, I listen to all these like rapper songs and all these guys just talking about how they truly started their own, how they just started from the bottom and truly had nothing. Where it's like, I want to just start my own business from the bottom and just say that, yeah, I made that business. It represents me.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It
absolutely.
Me.
You and your
now hard know work, someone yeah. else already made a company, and I'm just taking over their spot, making all the money. It's really the, yeah, I put the money into it. I lost money. It's like you get it all back. As you,
it's the man in the arena.
Yeah.
Great poem. If you ever need a good read, but basically the heart of it is better to be the man in the arena, putting in all the blood, sweat, and tears and the effort, whether you win or lose, because you get to truly experience failure and success. 100%. As opposed to the person who's just watching it and 100%. Commenting from the sidelines.
100%. Oh, yeah.
Be the man in the arena.
100%.
You know?
Yeah. I could say, when you start in a business, dip your toes in the water, but it's more like cannonball in the water.
Yeah.
Go all in.
100%. 100%.
And if you fail, there's always something to learn from it. So then it makes it not failure.
Because exactly. You learned. It's only a mistake if you don't learn from it.
Exactly.
Or if you just let it get you down. Like, yeah, if you failed business doesn't mean you have to go make a $1 million business on like a balance. I mean, just go do something out of it. You lost, okay, maybe I shouldn't be a business owner. You learned that from it. Go do something else. Go find a different passion.
Exactly.
Go master that. I just love, I feel like for me, I call them like side quests, where I just love doing just so many different things. I mean, I feel like, it hit a point when I was dating this girl in college, and it got to a point where she like, she didn't call me boring, but she kind of called me boring in a sense, because I haven't really done much. I don't know how to do much. I don't know anything. It's like, I just want a little side quest and just be able to play guitar, play drums, be able to do a backflip. It's just certain little just things where it just kind of makes you an exotic person. I feel like that's kind of the business owner. It's like you get to just try different things. You get to say you at least did something. And if it works, I mean, if you're making money, being a great business owner, you can then go truly experience different things. Go learn how to surf. Go learn how to go build an igloo in Alaska. Mm-hmm. Just do different cool things. That's what keeps me going.
Absolutely. Yeah. Have a passion for life.
I don't want to say it's like money driven, but in a sense, it is just money-driven. 100%.
At the end of the day, money is just a measure of the social value that you have. 100%. Because it's a social currency.
100%.
Like, half of business is you have to learn half of sales is convincing other people they have money, convince them to give it to you for whatever you are giving them in return.
Convince them they need your product or service.
100%. Exactly. And so one of the biggest things that I've really found is there's all these leadership classes, but none of them actually teach you how to be a leader. They teach you how to be a manager.
Yeah.
100%. 100%. Because my GM at Blaze, I mean, we're actually having a meeting on Wednesday about it. Because he's a very, very terrible manager. He just has the GM spot, and he just has the GM spot. That's all he provides. He's the GM. So yeah, sorry. Continue to.
Hey, no, you're good. You're good. Yeah. It's an equal exchange of conversation, and I love getting into all these different things. But the biggest thing that I was kind of touching on is I've been developing a leadership course that I eventually here soon want to start releasing and allowing people to participate in and learn from and basically come to workshops and listen to motivational speakers from people who have done it. And that's my biggest issue is you shouldn't, as an organization, ever have anybody teaching anything to anyone.
That's not credible.
Yeah, that's not credible. That hasn't been there and done it and seen the real side of it, you know what I mean? And so from a leadership perspective, the biggest lessons that I have to pass on is always make your people feel loved and understood. If you want their respect, be a man of your word or a woman of your word. If you say you're going to do something, do it.
100%.
And stand by your actions. It's okay to not always be right.
100%.
But don't lie to your people.
Exactly.
If you were wrong, you were wrong.
100%.
Notice that and fix it.
Exactly. And then a good leader leads from the front. Be in the trenches with your people. That's how you earn their respect.
Yeah.
Don't say, oh, that's not my job. I'm above that. No, you're not. Your job is everybody else's job.
100%.
Until they can do it better than you can.
Exactly.
100%.
And until they can, you're not done.
100%. I agree. I couldn't agree more.
A good leader is honest with themselves. You can lie to everybody else, but not the man in the mirror. Because if you drink your own Kool-Aid, if you lie to yourself, everything falls apart. Because then you've lost touch with reality. So know your strengths, know your weaknesses, and build a team around you of people that have their own strengths that mitigate your weaknesses and have their own weaknesses that are mitigated by your strengths or the other people that you bring in to complement them and balance them out.
Exactly.
Because that's how you create a diverse and strong team around you that can face the world and get anything done that needs to be done.
Yeah. To where there are no weaknesses.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. I want to backtrack a little bit. What you were talking about, Ben, about like the side quests. Like learn how to play guitar, play drums, surfing, all that. And I know that you said something about like money might be the goal, but like, I understand, like, I'm like you. I want to do all those side quests and complete them. But, like, my goal, like, of course, money will help you get there and have that time to partake in learning how to play guitar, let's say. But my ultimate goal is, like, knowledge. Like, learning how to do that and gain that knowledge. So gaining as much knowledge as I can. Of course, yeah, you're going to need that money to get there. But the ultimate goal is knowledge.
100%. That's 100%. Because I put it... let me think. I think by just having... It's more of like the life experience, the life knowledge. Yeah. It's kind of like the... I want to kind of be like the all-knowing in a sense. Just mm-hmm. the fact that, yeah, I've...
Learn as much as you can.
Yeah, exactly. Just it's more of the try. I feel like you gotta try. You try things and you learn things. You try, you learn. Try, you learn. Let me go try something. Let me go try being a firefighter. Why only a firefighter? That's knowledge. Because you talk to people, you explore people, you get to pick different people's brains out.
Yep.
Because everyone just has a different perspective on things. And I got into a big conversation at work one day because it was literally the biggest, probably like a big diverse of people. Different opinions, and I think it's just the more perspective aspects, learning how people think, how they see things. I mean, everything's good and bad in a way. I feel like everything's just on a spectrum. It's like nothing's good or bad. So I feel like you just go learn and you try things. Mm-hmm. And you just expand your knowledge. You expand your life. I feel like ever since I dropped out, in a sense, I've been doing way more. I've done ice fishing. I've done some outdoor snow adventures. I do a lot of shooting with Rockwell. I'm doing security. I mean, this is just all knowledge I've learned from talking to different people and just doing different things. So yes, I guess knowledge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I love to learn, and I will never. Honestly, I love learning, which is so weird because, I mean, if you saw my performance in the classroom, I don't know.
You're preaching to the choir on this one, bro.
That's one of my biggest things is grades don't matter.
Dude, no, I was the fucking jerk off in the back of the class. Dude, I was chirping everyone. I was the goofball. I was the class clown getting in trouble all the time. And but it's like... I just love to learn, and I just want to learn different things. Like, I mean, I want to learn how to shoot a gun. I want to learn how guns operate. I want to learn how to do a business. I want to learn how fishing operates. I mean, my sister's boyfriend knows probably every damn fact about fish. And it's like, fuck, I don't know about fish now. Let me learn about that. Let me go ice fishing with you. Tell me more about it. So it's experience. I just want to experience as much as I can before I die. Because again, I feel like, I mean, there's a song on a show I watched, and it's like, all these people just are put in school, they go to university, they're all put into office jobs, they all move into suburbs, all the suburbs are the same, all the people are the same, everyone's the fucking same.
Like
everyone just follows the fucking chain system where it's like, go really experience things, do things, don't just follow the system, experience it for yourself.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. 100%. Exactly, I agree with
do
that.
Things for yourself. It's healthy for you. It's healthy.
It really is. It helps a lot. It really, really does. And it builds that pride and that confidence in yourself. And that's one of the biggest issues that I've found and noticed about our culture that we're developing today is there's a massive lack of confidence because people have taken the struggle out of their lives and now there's nothing to beat. And so we're creating villains for us to go after and imaginary monsters to fight to in an attempt to give ourselves a real world confidence, and it's never going to be there. You know what I mean? If you want confidence, if you want to build yourself up as a person, go find a challenge, go find a struggle, go find the heaviest weight that you can bear and bear it until you can bear more. If that makes sense.
Oh yeah. Go find a battle, beat the battle, move on to the next.
100%.
Level up.
100%. You just gotta level up. Dude.
Yeah. And it's crazy because there's this psychological phenomenon where people who know a little bit are incredibly confident in what they know. People who know a lot are uncertain with what they know. Mm-hmm. Because you never know what you don't know. But if you've been involved in something long enough to be made aware of the fact that there are people much, much better than you at it, you realize how much you don't know, but also how much there is to discover.
100%. Yeah.
And if you keep yourself in a small box and you lie to yourself and you tell yourself that you know everything there is to know about something, 100%. You're never going to know anything.
No, because there's always more to learn. There's always more to know.
Absolutely.
And if you don't chase that, you're stuck. You're a mindless zombie. You're in those same suburbs as everybody else.
100%. 100%. I feel... I don't know what I was going to say.
You're good. Maybe. This is some good food for thought that I feel like you can run with. What blew my mind was discovering that most people spend their entire lives never leaving a 25 square mile radius from their house.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I feel like even just alone within the past 3 months, we're just talking to different people, doing different things, hanging out with different crowds. My music taste has changed.
Yeah.
Where it's not, where it's like, dude, I truly, it's like, I listen to so much more in different artists. I didn't realize how, of all genres, there's so much good music, because I love music. Cause I feel like music is good for mentally. Music is so good mentally. Like when you, I heard Joe Rogan say, but I mean, it's like when you hear like that Elton John song, like "I'm Still Standing," come on, just randomly, you feel good, or just that's just the song he used. But you have that song when you randomly hear it, when you haven't heard it for a long time, you feel a certain way, you feel excited, you get those goosebumps a little bit. It does something to you.
It's you get pumped up, excited. You're ready to do anything.
100%.
That's amazing. It's truly amazing. No, I'm so glad that you love music as well, because music is a huge passion of mine, and I eventually want to get into producing and making music of our own. You know what I mean? Because I think even if it's trash and you never publish it, it's something you did.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, it's something you did. It's an expression of yourself.
Again, you're just trying something. You're learning something. Exactly. You're expanding your knowledge on how music just works and just different things and how to do it. So, yeah, you're just always, I just feel like you should always be learning by always doing something.
Absolutely.
Yep. Should never be complacent.
And something that I found, like, that I've been studying recently is your subconscious cannot make the distinction between constructive and destructive thought patterns and ways of being. And that's where self-reflection comes in big time. Guard your mind.
Because your subconscious is always listening and always watching. And it might destroy you or help you.
100%. Like, you're always just thinking about something. Yeah. So I feel like also by doing stuff, you're just keeping your mind active, and you'll discover you'll get a lot of free dopamine. You'll discover just things that you never realized you were good at that you can just do.
Yeah.
So then they're just little victories, and that's how you get dopamine too.
Exactly.
And it's not like that pointless dopamine from scrolling through social media.
Oh, it's so bad.
100%.
It's actually rewarding because you did something.
I love how many genuine people I've met since I started down this path. Because growing up, it was difficult. You know, I didn't know a whole lot of genuine people. I didn't know how to integrate the genuine people that I met into my life in a real way.
100%. You know,
and ever since I discovered how to, as an adult, just by investing that time, effort, and energy, and making sure that I keep them involved with my life to the extent that they wish to be involved, it's been an amazing transition for myself.
I would agree with that too. Can you say that again? Let me hear how you said it again.
So ever since I started down this path and have really begun to learn how to integrate people into my life to the extent that of which they wish to be a part of it, and making the conscious selection of genuine people in my life and the people I choose to surround myself with.
So are you saying you feel like you have more of a relationship now? More of like a true, like, wow, you're really a friend. You're really actually someone. Not just like a...
acquaintance.
An acquaintance friend where you just like, you ain't really... You realize... I feel like getting out of high school for me, I truly realize, and it's not like I'm calling shots or calling people fake. It's just you realize just who your friends were and who you really friends weren't with.
Yeah.
I mean, just because, I mean, I would have to agree. I truly, I mean, it's like the friends I talk to now or just the people I hang out with now, I truly feel like I have a human relationship with them. Mm-hmm. I'd have to agree.
Yeah. And of course, there's people that you're going to meet that aren't for you. And of course, they might be for someone else. And you got to realize that and say, okay, well, this isn't going to work for me because our friendship is not how I think it should be and how I want it to be. And so you got to move on and find those people that will help you in the way you want.
100%. It's not, and it really doesn't even have to be a bad thing. It's really just, I feel like you have to get mature mentally to really understand that it's like, people think once a friendship ends, it has to always be bad or it's just, I mean, it's just, why can't it just
be done.
Be done. Just be like, oh, it didn't really work out.
Exactly.
It just kind of, your bond, I mean, And again, I feel like that's another thing. You just should always just be expanding, kind of expanding your friend circle in a sense. Again, you don't want to just keep complacent with the same people. You can't just, once you hang out with the same people for so long, it's kind of like,
all right.
Obviously, okay. There's going to be a couple of those, like probably two or three, just die hard. Just you can always be homies. But it's kind of, I mean, if you're doing new things, you should be meeting new people, doing different things.
Yeah. If you never get rid of the wrong friends, you'll never meet the right friends.
Yep.
100%. Now, on that note, we're going to go into a quick ad break. We will be back in just a second. Welcome back to Ponderosa Ponderers. So while we were on that ad break, we actually got into a really interesting conversation. So when it comes to dealing with your people, always remember to appreciate and respect them because they're doing it so you don't have to.
Yeah, exactly.
And the moment you forget that is the moment you lose your people. And you start taking them for granted and you start mistreating them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
you lose their respect and they lose yours.
Exactly. And it's so, so, so important to me that every business owner, every manager, if you are stepping into a position, make sure, like I said before, that you are in the trenches with your people as much as you can be to earn their respect and also to have a realistic understanding of what they're doing. And that's why I work the first 2 weeks of any contract that we get, because if I'm not willing to do it, I'm not going to make you guys do it. You know what I mean? But it also allows me to operate with the same system that the Persians used to use. So it's severity and leniency. So it allows me to be very lenient and understanding when people are facing struggles that I also face and be like, no, I get it, man. Like, I totally get it. Let me give you some advice and help you. I now know exactly how to help you get through this struggle because I've done it myself and I've beaten it.
Exactly.
You know how to do it, you know?
Yeah, this is how you conquer those demons of this job field.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But
you also know who best fits that position.
Exactly. And if they come to me, and I've had this happen before, where they'll try to play up an issue and make it seem like more of a struggle and something that they can't do, when in reality it's them being lazy, or them not wanting to do the work, or them being too afraid to do their jobs, what I'm paying them for. And allows me to sit there and go, no, you're not gonna lie to me to keep your position in a job that you can't do. And now I know that you can't do it.
Exactly. Anyway, you were gonna talk about, I think, severity next?
Yes, so that by doing that and practicing that and getting into that, it allows me to practice what the Persians implemented with their law system, which is severity and leniency. So it allows me to be really, really lenient and understanding when people are facing a demon that I have as well, you know, and I refer to it as a demon when it's a struggle, danger of the job field, a part of the work, whatever it may be, just as an overarching term,
mm-hmm.
a demon of the job field, you know
yep.
what I mean? And so when I've beaten that demon and when I've gone through that struggle, I can be super lenient and I know how to help them. You know what I mean? I know how to be there for them. I know how to teach them how to beat it. I know how to teach them how to do their job most effectively. But it also allows me to bring that severity in terms of instead of having those questioning doubts of, oh, well, maybe they're right. It's like, no, I know you're wrong. I know you're wrong for handling it this way. I know you're wrong for reacting the way you did. I know you're wrong and not cut out for this position because I've done it. Because I've been there. And so that's really allowed me to keep a good team around ourselves. And
it
to
holds everyone accountable.
Exactly. Exactly. Because the dishonesty and the mistrust is going to kill an organization faster than anything else.
It's a lack of teamwork.
Exactly.
And also what I think from my, kind of from the opposite position of you as more of a worker,
yeah,
and working for other companies and whatnot. At Blaze Pizza, when I work at Blaze Pizza, and I have a couple of real good friends, really, again, the only friends that I really want around for a long time that I can be friends with. We all work together, and for a couple of them, it's like a hangout session for them. They don't get stuff done. They don't do anything because they're rather hanging out and talking and dancing to music, but Blaze has been going, it's been, just at least how it's been ran for us, is terrible. Nothing's getting clean, nothing's getting done. Prep's taking way too long because of those reasons. And I mean, we're having a big team meeting about it, company meeting about it on Wednesday. But it's like, you're my friend, but as soon as I clock in, I'm your fucking coworker, dog.
Yeah,
I'm your fucking coworker, and I'm a mean coworker because I like to work. I like to get things done. If you slack, and I'm letting you know. So it's really, again, I feel like, that's just how I am. I feel like you kind of gotta separate your, once you're working, once you're clocked in, you're working. You're doing the job. Mm-hmm. So I feel like, again, that's why, I mean, you at least know you're doing the work. You at least should know.
Yeah, and it also allows you to know, based on the amount of work done, the crowd size, what's going on, and what the night's like, you also know what the correct amount of social interaction between your workers is. You know what I mean? Because a lot of people love coming into a place and seeing that family atmosphere and being a part of that business and seeing that the workers are enjoying themselves and having a good time and interacting with each other and cracking jokes.
They should also be there. I don't want to say look scary, but kind of look like they're doing their job. They're at least watching you. That overview view a little
bit. Exactly.
But not too much. Again, that little interaction between you and your coworker, like, hey, check that girl. Hey, this and that. Just to show that you're at least still human.
Yeah.
You still have a human aspect of you.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, even like when it was me and Eric up top and you had to leave to go check the solar farm when it started snowing and everything again. We both just knew that you were gone. So we actually had to hold this shit down. Like, because me and him have been talking. We've been hanging out after work and everything. We've been talking. It's like, dude, he's also motivated. He wants to own his own thing, too. He wants to do his own thing, too. So it's like, we both know we're there to watch people. We're there to crack down on the thing we talk about in our debrief that we need to be looking out for. So, again, you need to know that balance, too, as a working for somebody. Work in general.
For sure.
Exactly, and I really appreciate that. You know what I mean? That means a lot to me.
Because then again, it shows back to you that, again, you can
trust you guys. I can step away and build in other areas.
In a friendship aspect, as a human, as just, and it, again, yeah, 100%. And I feel like, yeah, there's not a lot of those just human interactions or human bonds anymore between people too much.
It's the destruction of community on a societal scale, and it's scary. It's truly scary for a community-based species to lose that.
Yeah.
Because what we are going to be facing over the next couple of years is what that means for humanity.
It's kind of like a civil war, and without being a civil war between people, without them really knowing, I feel like.
I think it's going to be between being social and not. Especially like with COVID. We saw how people acted when they weren't social. And
it's bad.
Now they are social again and they miss it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, this is way off topic, do you think COVID was kind of like a planned thing? Do you think it was kind of like I know you like to talk about simulation and how the Earth is kind of like a matrix and everything.
Yeah.
But the way I kind of think of it, and someone told me this the other day, she was like, you ever think that COVID was just truly just a placed virus for the obscene people, the higher people, the government, the whatever, to see how people would interact when we had to shut down, we had to go away from isolation, we had to start working from home, start wearing masks everywhere? That was just my thought that you brought up COVID. But again, get back to that, just hiding, or the shutting away socially, emotionally, in an emotional human relationship.
It destroys a human. You don't cannot be social. People. Yeah.
Loneliness kills you as fast as a pack of cigarettes a day.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
It's wild. It's truly, truly wild. Because like I said, we are a community-based species. We are a social species. And on the subject of COVID, we've done a couple of episodes on it before, but my biggest thing is it becomes really, really easy to ascribe ill intent to actions taken after being confronted with an issue. So no, my biggest thing is I enjoy, there's this thing called Occam's razor, where the simplest answer is usually the solution and the correct one. You know what I mean? As an explanation for why something happened, right? So I don't think COVID itself was planned. I think COVID was a mistake that was then turned into an opportunity by opportunistic people. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think, I don't think the virus itself was planned, but we planned out how to deal with it.
Yeah.
And it turned into the greatest extraction of wealth from the lower classes ever seen in human history.
That's what I'm saying. It was all kind of just, eventually it was kind of just a,
it was a social experiment.
Life gave us lemons. Let's take that fucking lemon here.
Yep. Exactly.
Let's see what we can do with this.
Again, not in a very political sense. Really just from a kid who thinks on his own a lot.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's sad to me that we can't have open and honest conversations like this. And that's the whole point of this podcast, is to do just that. That's why we started it during the COVID pandemic, actually, is because I was living in this man's basement for the entire thing because we were quarantined. So I was like, you know what?
Nothing else to do.
Yeah, I'm going to go hang out with my best friend. And we ended up having a lot of really good talks with people who would, funnily enough, just crawl through the windows.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Like, they came to my house. They didn't go through the front door. We're like, oh, just come through the window.
Yeah. So, like, we'd literally, like, get done with a good discussion. We'd walk out into the living room, and three homies are just chilling on the couch that we didn't know were there. And we're like, all right, come on in. We're going to turn the mic on. Let's do an episode. Like,
that was great.
It was
weird times.
It was
weird. We didn't know what was right and wrong. It was weird times.
It was wild, bro. I was afraid to get arrested every time I left the house.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what I mean?
I would be hearing things that were if you stay out too, or do I be hearing things?
Yeah, dude.
No, it was a good time.
It was.
Where did you live?
Blackhawk. So right outside Rapid.
Yeah.
Not too far.
Were you going to school at that time? Were either of you going to school at that time?
Because
when were you done with school? When were you done with college?
God, I dropped out the semester after the COVID pandemic, if that makes sense. Because I remember it vividly.
Would have been your...
Because it hit the spring break of my freshman year in college. So I was on spring break, got back from Arizona, and the COVID pandemic started as soon as I got back, like the day after my flight landed in Rapid. Cool. And so I finished up the rest of the semester at Mines. Yeah, online. That was wild. And then I transferred to Black Hills State. It was weird.
Was that in person?
Yeah, that was in person.
So would you drive up there? Or was that because you went to Black Hills State too, didn't you?
Yep.
Yeah, so I had 5 classes that semester. I did 2 of them here in Rapid at their, like, Black Hill State.
By
Waikiki. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I did the other 3 up in Spearfish. So I've always loved driving, especially long drives and road trips.
Especially through the hills.
Yeah, it's so nice.
Oh,
it's
nice.
It's a peaceful drive. It honestly, again, I totally agree. It's a pain of a drive, but it's worth it in a sense. But yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was also in my freshman year when it hit. So we graduated in what, 2019?
Yep.
So
where'd you go to high school?
I was homeschooled.
And I went to Stevens.
Did you change your major when you went to Black Hills State, or did you?
Yeah, I switched from biomedical engineering to psychology and business. So I did a semester of psychology.
So was that when kind of everything kind of flipped for you?
Yeah.
When you're like, okay. Because, again, you're smart. You're a smart dude. Fuck. Dude.
I appreciate always, bro.
Dude, carrying kind of your, like, briefcase around school. No, but, okay, but then, yeah, okay. So then was that kind of when you're like, damn, school maybe ain't worth it, but, okay, here's psychology, here's business, okay.
And yeah.
Then you started thinking.
Yeah, so I made the connection between psychology and business by doing both at the same time. And, like, studying both at the same time. And I realized truly, because, like, people always told me that psychology and business were connected. Okay. But I didn't understand how connected until I studied both back to back. So my mind was already primed with knowledge of psychology. And then I went to business class and went, like, my mind started making those connections. And then I realized that I didn't learn anything I didn't already know in my business classes. And I was like, all right, well, if I already...
Because it's just kind of...
Yeah, if I already know this, why am I paying for it? And then I went, oh my God, I already know this. Why am I paying for it? I can get paid for it.
And that's what kind of started me on the path that I did. Because I dropped out. I was the head of security for a 5-star Curio Hilton Collection Hotel.
Where at?
Here in Rapid, the Alex Johnson.
Cool.
And so I did that for, 4 or 5 months.
Who ran that?
So Liv Hospitality owns the general network of hotels.
Yep.
And then it was managed, each of them are managed individually by general managers and their structure underneath them. And so I answered to the general manager. And we had some disagreements on how it should be done. And so I ended up leaving and starting my own security company. And that's kind of what kickstarted it all, is I ran the security for a bar and a nightclub before I went and ran the security for a hotel. And I was like, what am I doing? I'm making, the highest I made off of doing all of that was $18 an hour. And I was like, what am I doing? Why am I doing it this way? I'm putting in a lot of work and effort and energy
to get minimum results.
To get minimum results when I could be doing the same thing for myself at the same places for triple.
Yeah.
So I did. And that's kind of what kickstarted the whole journey. And I was patient and opportunistic and watched the market and I watched the social interactions, and I watched for my opportunity.
Yeah.
And when it came, I made sure I was ready for it. You know what I mean? And that's why it's so important to me to be ahead of the curve in every aspect that you can be.
How'd you prepare for that? Like, what was kind of like, I don't want to say like a day-to-day basis, but what was kind of like, how'd you like build up to it? How'd you lead up to it? What were you doing on the side?
So,
or like underneath, like the behind the scenes and stuff, what were you doing?
A lot of it was human interaction and being in knowledge of how things were progressing. So I sat down and I tried to figure out, with what I knew already about the industry and the experience that I had gained, where is, you know, what would be essentially the perfect storm in order for me to succeed? Okay, how do I create that? How do I work towards that? How do I prepare myself? Because if I can, you can't control the myriad of different factors that go into success. But you can identify the ones under your control and make sure that you make them as good as possible. So on a day-to-day basis, it was a lot of self-improvement. It was a lot of relationship building. It was a lot of talking with the right people. It was a lot of learning, hitting the books real hard. Learning the laws, learning the operations, learning the ins and outs before I even got into it. You know what I mean? So I had a lot of sit-down meetings with lawyers and accountants, and just kind of any question that came up on my journey of learning, I asked and really took to heart the answer and figured out how I could implement that. Yeah, what can I do with this? Exactly.
Learn the knowledge from the people and take it around with it.
Exactly. And so it was, I think, a week before, it took me 2 weeks to get my business started up. So I started the process. I applied for the license so that I could operate. And then the day after the license came in and I knew I was good to go, I approached Murphy's because I had heard recently that they fired their old head of security. And because I had been involved and in the know and investing that time, effort, and energy so that they knew they could trust me, and I had work experience with them in the past, ran their bar for them in the past as security, I approached them and was like, hey, I'm starting a new company. I specialize in security and I'd love to see what I can do to help you guys out. And got the contract signed that day, negotiated some numbers with them, took my ego out of it and was like, okay, this works for you. This works for me. I can run with this. This is business for me and my people. Let's get it done. And then from there, it was investment and building and calling all my old security contacts and people I've worked with in the past. And that's why it's so important not to build bridges. Not to burn bridges. Always build them. You know what I mean? You can cut people out of your life, but if you leave on a good tone,
you might need them in the future.
the world's small. You're inevitably going to run into them again.
Exactly. Build a good, long, sturdy bridge.
Exactly.
Where it's like, yeah, it might be a long walk to get back to you. It might take a while, but, you know, we're still good friends. I can still get to you.
I can be cordial.
Yeah. Never destroy it.
And you start talking, and then, okay, then after that, after you started the... So you got Murphy's. When did you get Murphy's? When did you get that signed? Was that kind of like a huge moment for you?
Oh, that was amazing. Oh, it was such a good feeling because it was vindication to everything I had done. You know what I mean? But 12, 27, 21. That's when it went into effect. So almost right before the end of the year in December.
Right after Christmas.
Yep, right after Christmas.
And when did you get... What was the next one after that?
The next one after that was AB's. That was in March, I believe. Getting ready for their concert circuit in May through September. And so I provided concert security for them, built that relationship, got my guys to look at a different style, allowed me to hire more people and get them going. And then in July... I got a contract with the Black Hills Pregnancy Center because Roe v. Wade had just been overturned and a bunch of pregnancy centers were being firebombed. So I did about a month and a half work for them, making sure they were solid, making sure they were good, just overnight, guy sitting in a truck, making sure that everything's okay.
Where's that at? Where's that one at?
That's out in Rapid Valley. So it's on kind of the east side of town. Yeah. And then in August, I picked up Press Start.
So that's kind of new still.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I've been running with them ever since. And then we also did some sporadic concert contracts. One for a rap show at the Holiday Inn. That was wild.
Who came for that?
Whose
rap show?
It was... a lineup of like 12 or 13 local artists. And the funniest thing is I wasn't hired by the event staff or the location. I was hired by one of the rap artists that I knew from high school. And so that's what got us on there. And that one was, like I said, that was really wild. I think we had 5 or 6 fights the whole night.
Oh, I bet.
I was in a 3-on-9.
Oh, I bet.
That was wild, but we won. And walked out of it pretty much without a scratch. So I'm thankful for that, but also proud of that. Yeah. And then we did...
this past summer?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we did a music festival out in the woods for Stupid Happy, a local EDM band. Cool. The music festival is called Synesthesia. That was a lot of fun. And then...
Where was that one at? Out in the woods?
It was out in Piedmont.
Oh, at a campground. It's out.
Ooh, yeah. Wow. Yeah. So it was just us making sure that everyone there was okay. It was wild.
Yeah,
dude.
In the middle
that
of the woods again. Yeah, that was. You don't want to mess with
the woods. Yeah. It, the response time for the police would have been like an hour and a half, at least.
Oh, no, please. Nah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'd any sort of. There and be like, nah, this was a prank.
Any sort of medical service, anything. It was all on us. And we got it taken care of. That was
anything
a really
happened?
Good event. No, not really.
Just kind of more, okay.
Yeah, the nice thing is a lot of people that came to the EDM show were also regulars at the bars and the nightclubs. We knew them already. It was nice, easy transition. They already respected us, and that's why it's so important to build that PR.
100%.
And to treat people with respect and be understanding and help them out, you know what I mean? And then I've personally done some personal security details for people, but that's outside of the company scope as of the moment. And then, yeah, that's pretty much the extent of it. And then we picked up the contract out in New Underwood. I won't go any farther into that right now, but we picked up that, at the end of this last year in December, almost exactly a year after I started the company. And that's been awesome. Really thankful to those guys because it's been really, really good. And now... it's just a steady growth path of progression and just maintaining what we have and figuring out the best ways to build it moving forwards.
You ever look at anything in Deadwood Is there any security opportunities out there? Because I feel like Deadwood, there's quite a bit.
I would love to get into Deadwood. I would absolutely love to get into Deadwood and the bars and the casinos and everything up there. The biggest thing is it's a market that we really have to start from scratch and establishing ourselves and our reputation up there. You know what I mean? So once we can get our foot in the door with somebody up there, which just comes through time and effort and opportunity and paying attention to the market and being involved, which will be a lot easier when I'm 21. It'll be nice to be able to just go up there, chill, talk with the staff, figure out where they might need us and when they might need us, and kind of, it's all about trust. You know what I mean? Can you get that person to trust you? And are you deserving of that trust? Well, what's under your control? Are you deserving of that trust? So on a day-to-day basis, make sure that you deserve the trust that you're trying to garner from others. And if you are, they're far more likely to trust you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You can get a lot of people. You can have people do a lot of things for you if you can get them to trust you.
And respect you.
Exactly.
But you got to respect them too. Respect's a huge factor in everyday life.
It's a two-way street.
Yeah.
This is kind of off topic too, what do you want to get involved with Rockwell? Because you do all the finances, don't you? And like accounting and...
Yeah, I do the accounting, so...
I know you want to do something. I mean, like, I know, like, you haven't done any lip balancing, but I mean, would you want to...
I have. I got my license, so...
Okay.
Yeah.
Hello. So, would you... Being, like, a fire leader, I guess, and talking more about that on the side and whatnot, but, like... If you could start your business, what would it be through Rockwell? Because, I mean, obviously, you know the money. You know how things work, too. Honestly, an nitty-gritty point as well with actual percentages and whatnot.
Yeah.
What would you want to run?
Probably accounting. Some type of accounting, finances, have, accounting.
Have your own firm? Like
yeah.
Would you even want to have...
That'd be nice.
That's big time.
Yeah.
That's the goal, is if we can have his accounting firm covering all the other businesses under our network, that allows him to be stable enough to not need any other contracts while also picking up other contracts and reputation through servicing all of us.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. Damn. So you really good with numbers? Like, are you really passionate too about like accounting? Cause it's hard.
It's really hard, but
cause you really again like you can just know from my dad and just other people who've tried. I mean, you gotta be. You want it.
Yeah, it is very hard, but I understand it. At some level, I somehow understand it, like pretty damn well too.
Good. That's some real good.
Yeah. Mind for numbers. Awesome. It's a mind for numbers.
Yeah.
Good. That's good to hear.
I love it. I'm interning right now for an accounting firm, and this is not a day where I've gone in there regretting going in or not liking it. Just love it. Sit down and help people out. Help people get through stuff that they don't understand. And save them money from the government.
So how do you kind of, I guess even, again, I don't even know how that all works too much, but like how do you... What does a daily like interaction look like with you with like a customer or like a person you're providing?
So like with businesses off tax season, it's basically monthly stuff like sales tax, payroll tax, getting payroll out, bank reconciliations, just basic bookkeeping. But during tax season, that's where it gets hectic because you gotta do all the business taxes and individual taxes as well of clients who come in. So it's a lot. Tax season is 3 months of hell for accountants.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
What firm are you at?
The Bearded Bookkeepers up in Spearfish.
I can personally recommend them to anybody who's interested or needs an accounting firm that is solid, reliable, trustworthy, hardworking. Like, I could not be happier with everything the Bearded Bookkeepers has done to help me and my business out. Truly.
I appreciate that.
Of course. It's the truth.
Thanks.
Huh.
Yeah.
How, and that's just 4 years too? Or did you have to do, any other like classes?
So if I want my CPA, I'm going to have to go another extra year, but that's not the track I'm going on right now at the moment. I can always get it later if I truly need it or want it. But I'm just getting a bachelor's in accounting right now, so.
What's that test called?
CPA.
Is it just the CPA?
Mm-hmm. CPA exam.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, 4 parts, 4 hours each, about $200 a piece.
I heard not many people pass it.
Like, it's hard.
I heard it takes a couple tries, like a true couple tries.
Yeah, it does.
You think you're ready for that?
I'm not going for it right now, so.
True enough.
If anything, I will go for a EA, which is a enrolled agent for the IRS, which means I can do anybody's taxes myself. So I sign off as the preparer of the taxes, and that's about 3 tests that I have to pass, and the passing rate is about 92%. So.
Oh, nice.
Pretty,
nice,
pretty good.
Dude. Yeah, hella.
And I don't have to go to school for another year.
That's a win. That's a win.
No, 100%. As soon as you get out and start, just get out.
Yeah.
The sooner the better.
Especially now, I'm getting that senioritis of getting annoyed by doing homework and going to class. It's bad. It's not good.
Are you doing in person too up there?
Yeah, I'm in person up there.
And do you live in Rapid then?
I live in Spearfish.
Okay. I figured.
Yeah. So.
Awesome. Well.
But yeah.
We're getting pretty close to the wrap up point. Is there anything, any closing statements, any final things you guys want to go over before we wrap this up?
I'm good.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for joining us in the studio today,
yeah,
Ben.
It's been
an absolute pleasure having you on. If you guys want to find us on social media, you can find us at Ponderosa_Ponderers on Instagram.
Or if you want to contact us via email, our email is PonderosaPonderers@gmail.com.
We'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to have you on the show. And don't forget, keep pondering.